This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. It is the 11th of January. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, our new producer at the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, everyone. It's John Boudreau.
What's up, Boudreau?
He doesn't have a Thibodeau in his life
Thibodeau.
Right now.
Yeah,
no Thibodeau right now. At? I got a little jazz yesterday when we called, I forget who it is, Kirk Stansel. Off in Calcasieu.
Raging Cajun.
Man, that's where my grandparents are from.
Is it?
Yeah, we're over there.
We're
over from Lake Charles. They got a farm up in northwest Lake Charles. So
I got you.
That's my fishing spot over
there.
Hey,
what bridge is that over there? I kept seeing pictures of it on social media this past week, where one of the big structures and legs on it's got all these cracks and concrete falling out of it, and they're talking
about
it's
Atchafalaya.
It's not on I-10.
It's not okay.
It's a FM road or a state highway.
But I probably have to ask them.
They call it the Lake Charles Bridge. And
because I know they've been having
dangerous
people go around it.
Yeah, well, maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, drive across that at your own risk.
Yeah, I know it's right next to that giant Sasol plant, I think, that they're making over there. So.
Yeah.
And my grandparents, they own a brickyard, so they're constantly moving 18-wheelers
right.
and everything, so they got to figure stuff out.
Yeah, stay off of that bridge. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Well, welcome to the show, folks. Our sponsors today, Belleville Meat Market, Texan Roofing, Skeeter's Auto Service, and Mainstream Marketing. All right, right now, weather-wise, down in Galveston, 56 degrees down on the island. That's what it feels like. It's clear. Winds are east-southeast with a balmy gust of 1 mile per hour. So it's fairly calm this morning. I know it was out my way. We're looking at about a 10% chance of rain, probably late this evening. Mostly sunny skies today. High of 64 down in Galveston. It'll be in the upper 60s here on the high ground. Winds will be east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tonight, they're jumping that forecast up on rainfall to 80%. Looks like down around the island, probably a tenth of an inch, most likely. And thundershowers will be late, low of 59. Winds will be south-southeast, 10 to 15. Then for tomorrow, we'll start the day off with a 60% chance of rain. Early morning showers with a high near 65 tomorrow. Those winds will be switching with this frontal boundary coming through west-northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Looks like most of the rain is going to steer north of us through East Texas, northeast Texas, over into Louisiana. We should probably get, we could get anywhere up to a half inch in the listening area here. So not too much rain. We don't really need any. They can stick a cork in it, as far as I'm concerned. We just don't need the rain. But looking at tides for today, we're on a two-tide schedule. This isn't ideal tide movement for daytime hours right now. We had a low occur just after midnight at 12:51 p.m. at the Galveston Channel. It was a negative 0.2. Then we have a high tonight at 9:13 p.m. It's an 0.8. So looks pretty much like a standing low all day. It'll start coming in late this evening, but pretty much slack tide most of the day. 7:15 a.m. is sunrise this morning in the Houston-Galveston area. That'll put legal shooting time for your waterfowlers at 6:45 a.m. Sunset tonight is 5:40 p.m., and our moon phase right now is 18%. We're headed towards our next full moon. No reports offshore. The buoy shut down this morning. I can't give you a report out there on winds and waves, but Eagle Point, we have a southeast wind at 11, gusting to 13. 57-degree water with 56-degree air temperature. And Morgan's Point is 52 degrees there with 57-degree water with an east-northeast wind at 5. So not too windy this morning. Do have east in the wind, though, which will warm our temperatures up with flow coming off the Gulf and ahead of this front. So it'll warm up pretty nice today and sunny, and we'll have rain during the nighttime hours and early morning. It looks like it's going to turn off to be a fairly good-looking weekend. So if you got fishing plans, don't cancel them. Our hunting plans, be nice weather. Go get them. All right, let's head over to the Tri-Bay area, and let's talk to our friend, the Hammer, Captain Glenn Hammond, see what's shaking in his neck of the woods. Good morning, Glenn. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, Captain Mickey. Thank you, buddy. How are you doing?
I couldn't be better. Life is good. It's all
good. It is good.
It is good. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're experiencing some regular tides finally coming back. Got rid of that northwest wind, and looks like we had a little bit more water in the bay. I still hadn't been. Monday was my last day out. I had Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I did pretty good. And, with the story with the rest of the week, with the fronts blowing through. But it's all good. Our water's kind of settling down here. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the Brazos River. All behind my house right here on Surfside on the Intercoastal Canal, the barges are just staging. I mean, you can tell they're having big problems down current.
Rivers, yeah.
Yes, sir. They must really be taking it slow, and it must be a mess down there because I've never seen the like of boats anchored in them. You know, when the fuel prices are good, they move the loads, move the barges, and you can always tell the traffic. But, buddy, it's got them right now. They're about every quarter mile, there's a barge on the Intercoastal pulled over to the side just waiting.
Well, the Brazos is out of banks and running. So is the Colorado. And I was talking to Charlie yesterday, and they're all stacked up like that over in Intercoastal by Matagorda also. They're having trouble crossing that, you know, that current with those barges. And then just been one of those kind of years, man. Every river's running from the Mississippi all the way down to South Texas. It just just a wet year, man. I don't know what else to say about it. Just a mess.
Yeah.
Just a bloody mess.
It's got our water a little bit brackish over here. There's a faint taste of salt in it, just enough to keep the fish around.
That's all you need. That's it.
It is. It's been pretty good each time we go between the fronts. Let's see, Saturday morning.
How's the clarity look on it, Glenn, with it being that
You know, it's been real good, Captain Mitch. Now, in the middle of the bays, in the middle of the shallow bays are a different story.
Sure.
But when you get over to the little protected areas where they go into the bayous and stuff, and you got a little bit of wind protection in there, it seems to the current flows down through there smoothly and seems to filter the water a little bit better. And
right.
And actually, the clarity has been where I've been fishing has been really, really good. So that's not been the deal. It's just a lot of little bitty fish is what we're getting. Starting on Saturday morning, I had Brian come down. That was my best day this past Saturday that I've had in a long, long time. And I mean, we caught the heck out of them. And we set on them in one spot, and we had eight trout. We kept eight trout and four reds, and we probably released two or three fish.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of little ones, but two or three over 23 inches too. Some good trout. Yes, sir. But on Sunday, I had Mickey Cooper come down with me, and I just called him Saturday afternoon and was bragging how good we did. And you know how it always goes, and every day is different as can be. But in Sunday morning, the bite was like small fish, and it wasn't nothing compared to Saturday. But anyway, I pulled him. I got Mickey 10 trout. We had southeast wind blowing that day, and it was actually moderate to pretty good winds that we were getting southeast, you know, prior to that other front that was coming in. So on Monday, I had Harry come down and go with me, and we probably caught 25 small fish each, and then we only kept four trout to take home with him.
Yeah.
And but the bite was real, real good, and we're talking soft plastic with about an 8-ounce lead head, and the same old thing, get it on the bottom and hop, hop, let it drop, or slide and glide it, or you just create a retrieve and you can get a bite. I mean, it's been really, really good, just tons of little bitty fish, and I'm not complaining because our, you know, barring some kind of stupid freeze or something, man, it looks like our trout population is great down here. Now, we did catch two or three other little bitty tiny flounder, about 13 inches. I don't know. I've still not had a good keeper flounder in my boat this year, but not this year. But, yeah, we out for the 2019. I hadn't had one in the boat yet. Little bitty baby ones, and that's all we're getting down here. As far as the redfish, they're kind of being non-existent, too. So, I mean, you can make a day by just going out there and bumping some salt plastics on the bottom. Actually, the day I took Mickey out on Saturday, he recommended I bring him some live shrimp, and I put all my stuff back on the boat and took him some shrimp out there. And Mickey, if he would have took that cork off, they just wasn't hitting on top. I think he caught like two baby trout and one keeper trout, 16-incher on that live shrimp under a cork. His shoulder's bad. He's almost 80 years old, bless his heart. And I just wasn't going to work him to death throwing all that plastic. But, hey, man, he threw it out there.
A cork will work me to death way more than plastic will.
Yeah, I know it. Exactly. And the current was carrying that thing so fast, he just couldn't work.
Yeah,
so I talked him into throwing that plastic. I talked him into throwing the plastic, and he started catching them, and it tickled the heck out of me, man. But anyway, he got him 10 trout then on Sunday, and then Monday they kind of slowed down. We had a real good bite on Monday, but couldn't get too many keepers out of the deal. And then another front come through, and northeast wind started blowing 20 all day, and that's what it is right now, just picking the days in between the fronts where the wind, if it's coming northeast, don't come down here because everything in the world's going to be dirtied up. But that wind is not the wind that we want to get. We like the south and the southeast and not too much southwest. But anyway, we have a pretty good little fishery down here. I looked around at the bait camps and stuff, and they are holding some bait. I've seen some white flags flying. So if you are a live shrimp fisherman or a live bait fisherman, I know you can get some live bait in the area down here. And I think all the boat ramps are clear and open. Depending on the draft of your boat, where you're going to launch, you may want to go down towards San Luis Pass. If you got a big old boat with a deep V, if you got some kind of flat bottom, you could launch probably here in Surfside or down at Bridge Bait and Tackle underneath the 332 bridge there at Surfside there, the Surfside Bridge underneath it. They got a boat ramp there. And if you buy a bag of ice or a pack of beer or something from the old boy, he don't mind if you use a ramp. I mean, I really don't think there's a charge to use a ramp. They just kind of want you to buy something out of the store. But really nice people down there.
Yeah, support the place. They're letting you ramp in there. You might as well buy your ice and beer and drinks.
Oh,
and stuff
shoot, yeah, and it's really good access. You're right here by the jetties. You know what I mean? It's a good location.
Yeah, you can go to the jetties or run down the ditch and go bay fishing. Doesn't matter.
That's it. Run down the ditch, man.
Hit the ditch.
That's about all I got down on this end, Captain Mickey.
I wish I had
a better report.
Hey, that's fine. I enjoyed it. It's informative. It's what people want
to hear, man. We'll be getting on them here pretty soon, though, and I'll have something good for you.
It's January, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Well,
and happy belated birthday to you, too.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. You bet, and happy New Year to you, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
I was thinking about all you guys when I was taking that little mini vacation over the holidays. No, I wasn't really. No, I was.
That's awesome that you get to go down there and do that.
Yeah, it's a once-a-year deal, and I make the most of it. Do it up as
right
good as
on.
I can. All right, brother, we'll throw out a number, Glenn.
Yes, sir. 713-208-0683. Thank you, Captain Mickey.
All right, Hammer. See you, man. Take care.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's get it rolling.
If you want to hunt fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Oh, we were talking earlier today about that story about you getting slapped with the tail when that shark came after your fish on the stringer and he knocked you off your feet.
I mean, he knocked me smooth off my feet, man.
We were telling that story to Marina. The guy said, look, if that ever happens to me, I'd never wait fish again. I said, well, Mickey's still out there waiting.
Yeah, I've still got two legs. I'm lucky to have them today.
You're going to find out what they're biting on from Baffin to Sabine. Big Lake to Matagorda, and some places in between.
That's the problem they had with that barge and ship collision down there by Bolivar Road that time.
That's it, yeah.
The ship was in the right-of-way because he was in the ship channel.
He was in the ship channel, that's right.
The barge that interfered, encroached, he was the stand-down vessel.
He was a giveaway.
Or giveaway, yeah. He's standing down, all right. He went to the bottom.com.
He went to the bottom.
He's standing down to the bottom, buddy. I tell you what, if a ship's pulling in front of me, I don't care. He's got the right-of-way.
Now, time for more of The Outdoor Show, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this beautiful Friday morning right here at the Outdoor Show where the big boat always wins. Big boats win. All right, let's run up Fayetteville see what's going on with Mr. Bob Green at Fayette County Reservoir. Bob, what is up?
Good morning.
And bass jumping in the boat up there yet?
Yeah, not quite yet. So
it's getting close, it man. It's January.
I know it. You know, we always talk about the second, third week. You know, they're full of eggs and getting ready to go to the banks. But I tell you, the water temperature was Tuesday. It was 71 degrees. You know, and it was just as calm as it could be. It had sun on it all day man. Before. And I'm thinking, boy, we are going to kill them. And we did okay on the deep spots, which is normally where we're fishing, either a spoon or Carolina rig or a drop shot. But we didn't catch anything except on a drop shot in about 22 feet of water. And, I was curious if there was any water going on. And one of the boys at the boat ramp said he had on a round trap shallow and it caught some fish. I went back out yesterday afternoon and the water temperature had dropped to 68. Not 68. It was 65 or 67, somewhere in there. But you know, it just depends. We had a little wind yesterday, the north wind. So that cooled that surface temp off again just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So 71, good gosh, there ought to be some fish moved in close to the bank. We'll figure that out as we go along next week and just see. But it hadn't been for a drop shot, we wouldn't have caught a fish Tuesday. So,
well, you figured it out. That's the biggest part of the game is finding the pattern and what to throw.
Yeah, one of them wanted to keep a fish. You know, of course, I don't keep many fish, but
what's the deal up there? You got to keep them under 14 inches.
Well, you know, they changed it this year to 16. It's 16 to 24 now.
Yeah, okay, that's the slot. 16 to 24 all go back in the water.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know they changed that. That's good.
That was something new for this year.
While we're talking about changes up there, Charlie Paradosky's been wanting me to ask you for a couple of weeks now, and I hadn't been able to get a hold of you. Did they have a big release of water up there?
Not that I know of, because there's water about 3 inches from the bottom of the dock, four or 5 inches.
Oh, so you're level full then.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Of course, I think that creek just runs right straight down back into the Colorado River down there somewhere around Ellinger, in that area.
Well, he had heard something that the LCRA was supposed to have a big release of water or something. Coming down the Colorado River.
Hadn't heard anything about it. Boy, I tell you what, the Brazos, I guess it was last week, we went across that. Had went to Louisiana. That's probably the one I didn't talk to you. Too busy burning up them machines, feeding them money. What happened? the Trinity, I guess it was. We went through. What town was that? Went out Old 90, and that damn Trinity River was just looked like
you went through a railroad trestle. Probably went through Liberty.
That was it. Yep.
Yeah, and river's right at the bottom of that train trestle.
It has been
since October. It's just been roaring since October, man.
Well, that's got to be just dumping on y'all.
It's killing my backyard. It's just obliterating. It's and what else is new? That's been going on for 4 years now. But I can assure you, when it turns around, everybody just stay away. Let me have it to myself for about 2 weeks. I'm gonna pour the bones to them. I'm going to be on a fish-killing mission.
Well, how'd you do on your hunt? I haven't talked to you.
I had a absolutely beautiful hunt and a great time. Just, I saw some beautiful deer. I didn't shoot them. I saved them for Blaine's customers to shoot.
And, there you go.
I shot an old spike and just had a blast. The doves disappeared, though. One of my good friends gave me a big time case and everything for my new over and under shotgun, and I went down there. I was gonna powder some doves, and they had that one front come through, and they all went south, and we lost them. And then, matter of fact, after I got back home, Blaine called me and said, "You won't believe it. There's millions of doves everywhere." They showed back up. They came back with that south wind, and we've got them everywhere. I said, "That's about right."
Isn't that the way it works? You know, yeah, that's dove season up here. They're gone.
Yeah, so. And yeah, it don't matter. I mean, I got off and got out of town and got down in there in the brush country and just lived it up, man. You can't beat a deal like that.
Yeah, I didn't know that they were going to play that week of
best
Christmas
of, yeah,
years, that they were playing the reruns, and I got worried. You know, things can happen to people in a week's time, and you never hear about it. And so I called Benny and say, "Hey, is everything okay?" So he called me back and said, "No, they're running other stuff."
Yeah, you should have called me. You got my number. I'd have filled you in.
Yeah. I sent you about when we fished last year.
Yeah, I got that email, and I'm going to put something together here.
I'm just giving you the timeline that we did all that. So anywhere in those areas between that April and May are the times. I'm looking forward to that again.
I know I'm supposed to go to Will's the first week of April because they had to delay the big bass class till the first week of April due to some kind of booking overrun or something there at Powell Park. But I'll get with David and Tony and we'll get it down, and maybe I can talk them into fishing 2 days.
That's the good time of year. So
yeah, anywhere in there. Cabins are perfect for all of us, you know, to stay in. I mean, that's just perfect setup.
Yeah, I think that week you're going to be going to Sam Raver, and your buddies were up there that fed y'all last time.
Yeah. Yeah, the ones we met, that was a good crew of guys, man. They were all there fishing, and they saw us all sitting out there having a cocktail around that little fire pit, and they introduced themselves and said, "Hey, man, we've cooked a ton of food. You guys ought to come eat with us," because we were gonna run into town and get a burger or something.
Oh, goodness. No, you definitely got fed better that way.
Oh, yeah, right? we got to eat high on the hog over there, man.
But it seems like now, every time they call me, I'm already booked up. So that unless they change your time again, we'll just have to wait and see. But no, as far as our water goes right now, I mean, it's just really that temperature is actually fairly warm,
right,
for these little cool spots that we've had. It really surprised me when I got back on that water and it was like that.
Rayburn's running warmer than normal. All the lakes are. Plus, you know, we're warm down here on the bay too. We're in the upper 50s in water temperature, which is warm for this time of year. Very warm.
Well, you know, when they run all three units, you know, on this thing for a few days, it'll warm that water up pretty good. But I just haven't fished shallow because this is the time of year that I'm looking deep. I'm looking for that. That big fish, you know, I guess you'd say, or swollen with eggs, and one of the guys did flay a fish. Breaks my heart when they do that, but anyway, and it had eggs. It was just full of eggs. So these deep fish are gonna be full of eggs. Yeah, when they do start moving, child, the only thing that's gonna hold them off. It always when these hard cold fronts seem like it pushes them back out. It may only push them out to 10 on your crankbaits.
Yeah.
And a deep diving crankbait right now work too if you find them on the ground out there. It's just, I just hate throwing that thing. I'd rather bounce a spoon or a drop shot than run that big old crankbait.
Right.
Just not something I like to do.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, Bob, our wheel has changed up here again, so I'm already out of time. We have a new clock we're going by, and I got to get used to it because yesterday I went over it a couple of times. I'm going, man, I can't get used to this. But if somebody wants to call you about coming up and booking a trip and getting in and getting some good bass fishing, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Cell phone is 281-460-9200. Or you can pull us up at FayetteCountyBassFishing.com.
All right.
Y'all have a good Friday and a great
weekend.
We're going
to do it now that the holidays are over. I'll get with Tony and David, and we'll get our calendars out, and we'll set a date or two coming up.
Looking forward to it.
All right, bud. Yeah. Thank you. All right, see you. All right, Bob. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 437 in the Bayou City. Let's go up to Lake Conroe and talk to Tex Bowman now. Good morning, Tex. What's up?
Good morning, Mickey. How you doing?
I couldn't be better. Life is good. Everything's perfect.
Golly. Well, I won't say it's great in paradise up here yet, Mickey, but we're getting that way.
I got you.
I tell you, we're putting up with the water and everything, and about wore the deer lease out, but we can't go nowhere over there. It's still the same, you know. Just lots of water, Mickey, that's all. So, anyhow, we're bearing with it. I've been down with a cold here for almost a week. We're doing better, but, you know, last year we got down with the flu for about five weeks, I think it was. And this year, got a cold, wife's got a cold, and it lasts about a week, and then we get back on the road, you know. So everybody's putting up with it, and we're just biding our time. But, man, hunting season has been on I don't know what you call it, Mickey, a bad deal this year, you know. And we put up with mud and water and broken side-by-sides and everything else. And anyhow, we're just all you do is bide your time now, and we're talking more squirrel hunting than we are deer hunting. It's really something, Mickey. But
squirrel season runs to what, February?
It's into February, Mickey, this year.
It goes all the way to the last day of February, right?
And somewhere in there, I need to look again and be sure, but it's up into February pretty good this year. And we have got squirrels and acorns, but we can just get the water down where we can walk. It's hard to walk the woods. This old timer here can't get around in them briars and vines and everything like we used to, Mickey. We used to see a squirrel and take off down through the woods running, and if he run out of trees right out, he might jump out, or he'd hesitate long enough we could take a shot at him, you know. But this year is different. You know, the hogs have been good. I got a doe and a hog that's a good-eating hog, I call it. And we'll get together here pretty soon. I hadn't talked to Mike here in days now, but I know he's got to be wearing down with that boat show, you know.
I bet he is.
Oh, and we'll get him back and everything. We'll probably it usually takes 2 days to do sausage the way we do it. We'll debone it. A lot of it's not deboned, just quartered up like we come in off the lease, you know. And we'll debone it and grind it up, get all of our sausages done here in a day, you know, and start stuffing. And then usually if we can get it all done in one day here, we got a heater, a smokehouse set up over there, and we'll hang it all and do it overnight, and next day bag it up and everything, and everybody hit home then, you know. But it's just a tradition over there, and a time we'll have a football game on or something, Mickey. So there's stuff to be done, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a good 2 days of just get together, you know, and we have a lot of fun doing that. And to me, a lot of times it's easy just to take it on to Belleville, and then I got one processor up here that does a good job for me. I've been knowing him since he was in diapers, you know. So there, him and his wife are doing real good, you know, and everything. But it's just a family tradition, and Mike and I have been doing this for years and years now, and it's a lot of fun. So anyhow, we get the families together. I barbecued last year, and then come down sick. So we got it all done, but I don't know what we're going to do this year as far as eating, but we'll eat for 2 days and nights there and fix that smoked sausage up. Mickey, I don't have anything much to say about the lake. I went up 2 days up at the lake. It's up a little bit, and it's a little off-colored back in there around April Plaza Marina. We're okay, but you can tell it's a little dingy yet. And didn't see any activity. Ben, I don't know how y'all are down on saltwater, Mickey, but yeah, my boat, I usually start it once a week anyhow and let it run if I'm not doing anything. And I messed around, went 2 weeks, and I got year-old batteries in the boat,
right.
And it was down on me. And so I had to go in, and I got the batteries all charged back up high and cleaned all the cables and everything. And, man, now it just, you can turn the key and it just start right up. That's the way it should do. But I don't know if everyone's sitting over the winter, you're getting ready to go put it on the water. Well, check all that out. Be sure it will start up and the battery cables are clean and stuff like that. It done me up, but all I was doing was just hunting too serious and didn't go to the lake and start it up.
Well, man's got to get his priorities right, you know?
Yeah, that's right, Mickey. But we're okay, and the only thing I'll tell anybody about wanting to hit the water on Conroe, crappie out deep yet. I think they're staging, wanting to come in. And then I've had some good reports of you can either drift or you can jug line, either one. You can put five hooks on a jug and stick them out there in a long Atkins Creek out there in the flats, I call it, this edge of deep water. Well, those big cats are starting to move. I hear some 30 and 40 pounders being caught out there. And you won't catch a lot of fish most of the time, Mickey, but if you catch one, it's going to be a good one. Those big cats, they stir this time of year, usually into January and February is jug line time on Conroe. And a lot of times I haven't lately, but I will be here real quick. You leave out before daylight. And if you're using like a spotlight to get down through there, well, you'll see the water light up everywhere out there. And all it is they got some reflective tape on those jug lines.
Right.
And it'll show up like big buoys down through there. Mostly my stuff is around Atkins Creek, you know, but it's Atkins has a lot of long shorelines, I guess, and little points and everything sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for them big cats to start roaming up them creeks, and they'll just spawn a lot deeper than the other fish and everything. You'll ought to find one spawning in like 10 foot of water, you know, or something or other. And it's that time. And usually around, March, Mickey, a lot of times I'm at the lake off and on quite a bit, and we'll hang some, I call them bicycle inner tube lines off the docks up there. And what you take a bicycle inner tube and put it around one of the columns on the boat stall and put you a good, I call it shark lines, you know, some big braided nylon line, and put about 8 or 10 foot on there and put at least a 1 or 2 ounce weight on it and find you some live bream or some big shed and put on there, and overnight a lot of times you'll get you big 20, 30, 40 pounder. And most times they'll be blues, but there's some old Opelousas catfish, we call them. I call them flatheads.
Ops, yeah, that don't matter.
Yes, sir, and you're right, Mickey. They'll come into those docks, and they're hunting crappie and the bream like that. But I'll hang one down there, let them stick down there about 8 foot underwater, and the other times, most of our docks at the marina are 13 to 15 foot. You get there in the morning, you'll see that old line going, and I keep a gaff hook on the pontoon boat. So we'll take it, and we can get them. If you want to eat them, we'll gaff them, get them up. It's better to have two people if you can, because those big ones, they jerk you in the water, you may have a problem. And anyhow, get them up on the docks there, and the work starts then, you know, if you're going to clean one of them. But mighty fine eating, and it's something to do this time of year, you know. Out there, you can either go set jug lines out and sit out there or drink some coffee and watch them if you get a bite. So
yeah.
But that's the action we have going up here right now, Mickey. And I'm going to try and get a little more hunting in. It's I can't get my little buggy around just certain places now, but we still go squirrel hunting, duck hunting, and you can find a hog now. And then they fixed me up with a couple of hogs here last week. And anyhow, we got some stuff we can get out and do. And like I said, the ducks, the two times I've been duck hunting, and they're not flying real good, but it seemed like we always complain about something, though, but we got so much water and we got acorns everywhere.
Well, yeah, where y'all are at, I mean, there's so much water up and down that river shed. You know, everything's flooded. It's going to be hard to congregate the ducks, get them piled up.
Yes, sir, it is, Mickey. And we know that with so much water, it hits our hog crossings and everything. And there are some deer around, but my gosh, I got my old black powder gun out and shook it all down and everything, and it's ready to go. So I may make one more run and take the grandson and see if maybe we can get us something to hear.
All right, you see something going on.
I got to roll, buddy.
Throw them out a number. Yes, somebody wants to call you about coming to Conroe, man.
Okay, my friend. 713-252-4290 and Lake Conroe Fishing Guides.com. You'll find text with Texas Guide Service on there. Mickey, y'all have a great one, and we're going to sit back with coffee and listen to y'all.
All right, Tex. Good talking to you. See you, man. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, later. All right, let's go down to Matagorda now. Let's talk to Bink Grimes. Sunrise Lodge. What's up, Bink? How you doing, bud?
Man, great. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're on the road, man. It's all good.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're heading to the marsh this morning, so trying to get out there and get them again. Look like we're going to have kind of light winds this morning, so I think it's going to be pretty. We're going to have to get aggressive and get on them pretty quick.
Whack a few birds.
Yeah, we're holding really good numbers, so it's pretty impressive, actually, to, you know, late in the season and everything. And, just the number we have, it's held throughout the year. It's been pretty good. Can't complain at all. I know a lot of folks are kind of, you know, struggling with the water and everything. We got lots of water too, but I don't know. They just hung around.
You might have a lot of food for them. That's key, man. You got the food and the water.
We do. We try to manage it, and I'm not saying we do anything different from anybody else. It just, I don't know. We've got good dirt. We got great property.
Good dirt. That's it, man.
It just is. It's kind of like the old days when we were talking last week. I mean, it's just good dirt. These ducks, year after year after year, imprint, I believe, and keep bringing back their young to the same spot it's mind boggling. Just, you know, the sheer number of ducks we've been seeing. You know, and even with the hunt press you put on them, it really is. But I think it's a testament. You know, there are just some properties that are just better than others up and down the coast, and we've just been fortunate that it's been us this year.
Wow.
So.
That is good to hear.
I don't know.
I know.
Yeah, it is.
I think Caleb and them, you know, they're kind of over from you. They've had a good year so far. I've seen a lot of good duck pictures on Instagram and Facebook and all that from Steve's place over there. Plus, you've been getting them, and naturally, Oyster Bayou, you know, Campbell and them's been getting them. So, if you're in the right area and you manage your property right, you're going to kill ducks. No doubt.
That's right. I used to hunt a lot of that stuff with Steve and all those guys are buddies of mine, Caleb and Jimmy Reynolds, Marcus and all them, man. And they do. They run a quality hunt up there. You know, Pierce Ranch, I hunt it. You know, Andrew Armour, Bronco Plains. I mean, they run a quality hunt. They manage it. A Harlan Batcher, a Prairie Waterfowl, East Bernard. I mean, these guys are staying on the birds there, and because they manage and they,
right.
They don't overhunt, they don't get greedy. They run so many hunts and that's it. And that's how you stay. You stay in this game for a long time and you keep people happy. I mean, we never ever guarantee limits. We're hunting wild animals, but you know, we try to stack the odds in our favor. And most of the time it works. Sometimes it doesn't, because like I said, we're hunting wild animals. But
especially the ones with wings. It's not like fish. Fish can only swim so far, but birds, man, they can leave several counties in one day. You know, it's like talking to old Kirk Stanzel and all of them over there. They had those monitors on those ducks, those collars that were they were electronically tracking those birds. They'd be in their marsh one day, and then the weather would change, and they'd be back in Arkansas the next.
That's right. And some of those birds are moving east and west. Some of the pintails are our pintails that hit them before. I was in Arkansas earlier this week, and they were talking about speckled bellies, and one was in Gaydon, last week, and that telemetry monitor they got on them. Heck, he showed back up in Arkansas the next week. You know, I don't know. They're trying to – it's kind of like how they put – you know, we're kind of in awe of tarpon, how they move and they migrate. It's kind of the same way with waterfowl. We think we know what they're doing, but do we really know what they're doing? You know,
not really. We're dealing with wild animals, like you said. Just when you think you got it figured out, they put it on you every time. Every time.
You can't get too arrogant with them. No, you can't. You will get humbled really quick. My daddy told me that.
Trout have been doing that to me for 40 years, Mink.
Yeah. About the time you think you got them. Yeah, it's same deal. You know, that thing about our business is you're a hero one day and you could be the zero the next day. You better stay humble with it because these, you know, trout are wild animals too. So, but, you know, like I said, you try to stack the odds in your favor, and hopefully things work out.
And the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Kind of, yeah. The more you do it, the harder you work. Seems like the luckier you get, huh?
Well, hey, duck season's going to run for you, what, through the 20th? Is it the 20th? 27th. That's right. You get an extra week after South Texas deer close. It goes one more week. That's right. So
yeah, we get an extra week past Louisiana, too.
Yeah, you do.
Sure do.
All right. Well, hey, if somebody wants to book a hunt and stay in your lodge and all that stuff, what's the best way to get a hold of you, Bink?
You can get me at 979-241-1705. You can follow us daily on Instagram and Facebook. We don't stay there a whole lot. We just tell you what we kill and or catch and get off, you know.
Yeah.
But you can kind of tell what we're doing and everything. You can find us there and Matagorda to Sunrise Lodge, either one. We can hunt you up on the prairie. We can hunt you down here in the marsh. We can catch fish. We're going to fish a little bit this week, too, after we hunt. So we can do whatever.
All right, my friend. Well, Bink, appreciate it. Have a good shoot, man. Good luck to you.
All right, man. Thanks for calling.
Go shoot them. All right, brother.